I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious. God bless you and good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church in Coronado. And before we go any further, this song is so sweet and so wonderful. And we mentioned last week about some of the paradoxes of the Christmas season. It's supposed to be the happiest time of the year, and yet life hits for some people. And so we've had two families that have had losses. Of course, the Lasseters, whose service for Jane will be on Tuesday here at 10 a.m., So be praying for the Lasseter family. And also, Nicole Malcolm's father went home to be with the Lord on Christmas Day. And so, but he's walking with the Lord and celebrating Christmas up there. So we're glad for that. But let's pray for these two folks. Would you bow your heads as we pray? And if you have a special need, something on your heart right now, would you raise your hand up real high, hold it up, and God will know what's on your heart, of course. Our Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we want to thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for giving us life to begin with, and then, Father, for giving us eternal life by grace through faith. Lord, I pray for our families that are suffering loss right now, that are going through this, that you would encourage them, that you would give them even more grace to have even more faith, to know that they can see their loved ones again one day because of what Jesus did for us. Not in being born only, but in dying on the cross and in rising from the dead. So, Father, we pray your richest blessings and pray for your consolation and comfort for the families. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you and thank you. You may be seated if you're here for the first time. It looks to me like we've got a lot of people who are not here for the first time. In fact, they're not here. So we got a whole section right in the back. We've been having a bunch of Buds guys, and I think they went home for Christmas and New Year's, and that's okay. That's all right. We're glad for them to be able to do that. But we're glad you're here, whether you're watching by way of Facebook or YouTube, or whether you're right here in the congregation. Thank you so much for being in God's house on this day after Christmas. Today, going to be speaking on 10 tips for avoiding holiday depression. And then afterwards, the leadership team will be meeting with the military, with Ryan next door, and then we're going to come back for hopefully a brief board meeting. Famous last words, a brief board meeting. Tuesday, celebration of life for Jane, and that will be right here at 10 a.m. You're invited to that. Check your bulletin for several Bible studies held throughout the week. And can I say this? New Year's Eve coming up, behave like Christians on New Year's Eve. I'll say more about that in a minute, much to the chagrin of several people. Next Sunday, we'll be preaching on taking a personal inventory, so that's an important thing. January the 9th, we're going to have Baptism Sunday. This is, believe it or not, this is not a table. This is a baptismal pool, and we're going to baptize some folks on January the 9th, which they pointed out is my 50th anniversary of my call to ministry? Huh? 56th anniversary, holy cow, of Surrender Ministry. But more importantly, it's the celebration of showing forth the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to all of you who are going to view it. If you're here and you're interested in being baptized, if you've never been immersed since receiving Christ as your personal Savior, let us know, and we'll arrange for that to happen on January the 9th. And then if you're planning, if you're interested in a free planning, estate planning consult on January 30th, fill out one of these cards right here. And by the way, these cards are multi-use, so if you have prayer requests, you can fill those out. If we don't have a way of contacting you, and if you're a first-time visitor, for sure fill one out. Either hand them to us or the offering box to the left of the double doors. Just stick that in there. We're so glad to have you with us today if you're a first-timer. Hope you'll come back and be with us. Here are resolutions we can actually keep. Every year, millions of New Year's resolutions are made, and every year, millions are broken within the first week of the new year. Here's some resolutions that I have worked on that can actually come to pass. First of all, gain weight this year. At least 20 pounds. Yes, it can work, Julio. Two, stop exercising. It hurts too much. Three, procrastinate more. Start tomorrow. Number four, don't believe politicians. That just goes without saying. Number five, break at least one traffic law. That shouldn't be a problem for most of us. Better yet, how about this? Dear Master, for this coming year, just one request I bring. I do not pray for happiness or any earthly thing. I do not ask to understand the way thou leadest me, but this I ask, teach me to do the thing that pleases thee. I want to know thy guiding voice to walk with each day. Dear Master, make me swift to hear and ready to obey. And thus the year I now begin, a happy year 'twill be, if I am seeking just to do the thing that pleases thee. The end of the year is a great time to push the reset button. That's old school, pushing the reset button. Now you reboot. So it's a good time, the end of the year, to reboot and to take a good look at our lives and determine what we're going to do better next year. So let's do this together as a church. And in the meantime, may you receive the best wishes for a wonderful new year from your preacher's wife and from your preacher. We love you and thank you for being part of First Baptist Church. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord. And Grant, if we could take my mic down just about a half inch. Thank you. The backstory to that hymn, you need to look it up and study it. An incredible backstory of a man who lost three of his daughters, maybe four, in a sea accident, a sinking of a ship, and how he came to that very spot in that ocean where he lost his family. And he said, "It's well with my soul. My sins nailed to the cross, I bear them no more." What a Christmas gift that is. Oh my goodness, what a Christmas gift. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness of sins, and as a bonus, everlasting life with you. Thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, are there any boys and girls up here? Any boys and girls here? You want to come down to the front? Come on down. All right, anybody else? Yeah, all right, from the very back, just right around here just for a minute, and I'm going to talk to you. Hi, how are you? I miss you. I'm glad you're here. Okay, some old things are cool. Did you know that? Some old things are really cool. How many know that? Raise your hand. Okay, a couple of you know that. Some old, like old cars are cool. Some of you have old cars, right? Yeah, but yeah. This guy down here owns, I think, a fleet of Volkswagen buses and parks them up and down C Avenue all the time. And he's got some other things, too. They're cool. Old antique furniture. Anybody know what antiques are? Yeah, the old stuff like your mom used to have. Yeah, stuff like that. Old wristwatches are cool. Old collectible things are cool. Chuck Sealer is cool. Some things that are old are cool, but some things are better when they're new. I told you I was going to preach to you, Chuck. So, some things are better when they're new. Now, how many of you have pets? Let me see your hands. How many of you have pets? What do you have?
Fish.
You have, all of you have fish? Do you ever take them for a walk? You take them for a swim? No. What do you do with them? You just stare at them? Does it freak them out when you stare at them?
No.
No, they like it? All right. And you feed them too, right? What do you have? Oh, okay. Anybody else have any pets? We have pets. There's our pets. Now, the one in the back is Puppy Sue. And that's my dog. And she's perfect. And the photo bomb is Susie Q. And that's my wife's dog. And she's demon possessed. I don't mean my wife. I mean Susie Q. So this is Puppy Sue and Susie Q. And we've had both of them a long, long time. And you know what they do?
They die.
They die. I need to sit down suddenly. I'm weak in the knees. You know what they do? Hey, they eat and they sleep and they eat some more and they sleep some more and they walk and they eat some more and sleep some more and they play with the toys. And look at this. This is what happens to their toys. I'm not sure what that was. Does anybody want it? Oh, yeah, they've been chewing on it. Look at this one. You can tell this was something that was kind of scared. It saw my puppies coming. These are the old ones. These are the old ones. But look, here's some new ones. That's what our puppies got for Christmas. That's one of them. That's another one. And this one. I'm not sure what it is, but it's got about 12 squeakers.
An elephant.
It's an elephant. Okay. All right. Well, it's a skinny elephant. So they're going to get these Christmas presents, and the new ones are much better than the old. And you know what? That's what happens when Jesus comes into our hearts and into our lives and lives in us. Before, the old person who didn't know Jesus is sinful and it does all kinds of bad things and says bad things and thinks bad things. But when Jesus comes in to live, we're a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. And so the new becomes better than the old. So Jesus came to make us new. Trust him forever, boys and girls, okay? Let's pray. Will you want to bow your heads? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to talk to these boys and girls. We pray your blessings upon them. Lord, may they always do what you want them to do as best they possibly can. May you help them do so. And Lord, thank you for making us brand new by grace through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Go ahead and go to your classes. We're glad to have you all here. Thank you so much for coming. Moms and dads, want to talk to you this morning, 10 tips on avoiding holiday depression. And I am not a psychologist. I want to be helpful to you. The message hopefully will be helpful. It won't be foolproof. There are no guarantees, but these are some suggestions. And some of us are sad around holiday time. And I will promise you that every Christmas from now on, when Nicole will think of her dad, right? And will think of losing her dad. The Lassiters, David and CJ, and you, this time of the year will roll around and you'll always associate the loss of your mom, the loss of your wife to this time of the year. So some of us are sad because this was the first holiday maybe without our loved one. Others will be sad because it may be your last holiday with someone, knowing that they're not going to be around a lot longer. Still others will be sad because of unpleasant memories associated with the time of the year, the season of the year. I made a reference to this last week when I talked about Christian or Christmas paradoxes. I talked about Joseph and Mary having an unplanned pregnancy. I mean, to the nth degree. This was the most unplanned pregnancy in all of history. We talked about her being great with child and having to travel. We talked about her, both of them having to pay taxes and going to Bethlehem, to the city of David, to be assessed for their taxes and so on. So there were some things that, even though it's supposed to be the happiest time of the year, the reality is it's not necessarily the happiest time of the year. What I didn't mention last week was that this phenomenon of this illusion of everyone being happy, joyous, and having a great time and having a great life can happen at other times besides Christmas, at other times besides, you know, the new year. It can happen on anniversary dates. It can happen on the anniversary of a divorce. It can happen on birthdays. It can happen different seasons entirely. So we associate things with certain days and certain seasons and certain times. And if you are prone to depression, then these are simply some practical steps founded upon the Word of God to help us to get through them. And so, first of all, first point is simply this. Lower your expectation. It's Christmas. Everything's going to be wonderful. Yeah. And then you can't get a parking place, and whatever your kids wanted, whatever toy, you couldn't get it, and they're sitting on a boat out here off the coast somewhere, and people can't come because of COVID, and one thing happens and another thing happens. Be realistic. Holidays are not magic. They're special because they're associated with a date, but they are in reality another day in our lives. They're another day, and good and bad happens, right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Difficult times come to the just and the unjust. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people all the time. So be realistic. Problems will not mysteriously disappear because it's Christmas or New Year's Day or your birthday. If someone has cancer, they're probably still going to have cancer. Unless God supernaturally heals them, they'll still have it and still be taking their treatments. If you're without a job on Christmas, you'll probably be without a job on the day after Christmas, unless something unusual happens. You won't instantly have one. So holidays are great, but they're not real life. They're intended to be breaks from real life. They're an opportunity for us to reflect. In the case of Christmas, to reflect on the greatest gift ever given, and the incarnation of God into human flesh, and to reflect on peace and goodwill toward men and all those kinds of things. So let's learn really well Philippians 4:11, which Paul says, whatsoever state we're in, therewith to be content. Whatever state we're in, whatever your life's circumstances are right now, will you determine to be content in those? Now, a word of caution, if your Christian life and Christian walk is mediocre, don't be content with that, okay? I'm not talking about that. If there's something you can do to improve your relationship to the Lord, your relationship with people, then do it. But when things come into your life that you have no control over it, learn to trust God through it. Learn that His grace is enough. Whatsoever state you're in, therewith to be content. Does anybody know where Paul was when he wrote those words? In prison. A lot of what Paul wrote that we revere as Holy Scripture was written in jail. And so whatever, and he's saying, whatever state you're in. So I'm assuming there's Paul in prison, and he's saying, you know what? If this is where God has me, this is where God has me. I'm gonna trust the Lord. I'm gonna be content where I am. He knew deprivation. He knew temptation. He knew persecution. He had reaped persecution because he had sown persecution earlier in his life. He knew hardship. He was no stranger to these things. So remember this, Christmas or New Year's are not going to take care of all your wants and needs, but the Christ of Christmas and the author of time can supply and will supply your needs. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and you sang about it today, thank you so much for that. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. His grace is sufficient. What you're going through today, His grace is sufficient. The flat tire you had on the way to church, Billy, His grace is sufficient. He provides someone to change the tire. Hey, it doesn't get any better than that, you know, except maybe somebody offered to buy you a new tire. That may happen. Who knows? Yeah, He's looking. So, I mean, whatever state you're in tomorrow, learn to be content. Learn that that His grace is sufficient for tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, whatever day it is, His grace is always sufficient. So learn to be content and lower your expectations. Secondly, shorten the amount of time you spend with difficult family members. Everybody has them. If you don't, you are. You're saying, preacher, we don't have anybody difficult in my family. Okie dokie. Now, we're supposed to love everyone, right? Love everyone, but we don't have to expose ourselves to friends or family members who are destructive or hostile to us, and some people are destructive. So now, here's the thing. Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And we understand that. If I hang around with someone who's a good person, a good influence, that's going to help sharpen me. It's going to make me better. But the opposite is also true. There are substances that will dull iron. You realize that? If you take a chainsaw and you're cutting down a tree and you get the chainsaw blade in the dirt, you're gonna dull the blade. The dirt dulls the blade. The rocks dull the blade. And so even paper can dull sharpened iron. How many get the... It's Christmas time. You probably got something that was in one of those plastic-wrapped, like, vaults that are sealed, you know, welded all the way around, and they're like impenetrable. You know, you can shoot them and the bullets bounce off of these. I had one of those packages not too long ago. Well, the irony is this. They sell those kinds of special scissors in those kinds of packages. How are you supposed to get it out? So I had one of those packages, and it was just like, you can't rip it, you can't tear it, you can't stomp it. So I got some of my favorite scissors, and I started cutting, and it was kind of making my scissors wonky. And I finally got whatever it was out of there, and now my favorite scissors click when you use them. So I don't know what that had to do with anything, but anyhow, there it is. Be nice to everyone, but you don't have to let people destroy you physically, mentally, whatever. So the point is this. There are those who will sharpen you. There are those that will make you dull or bring you down in some way. And I'm not saying don't ever be around them. And I'm not saying don't be nice to them. I'm just saying don't make yourself be around longer than you have to people who are destructive. And there are people like that. Proverbs 13:20, This verse, I found something. I've heard the verse and said it probably 1,000 times, but I found something else about it. In Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. What I found out was he that associates with fools shall be destroyed. And the Hebrew translation for the English destroyed is broken. So hanging around with foolish people breaks us. It broke my scissors. Hanging around, cutting the wrong kind of stuff, it can break us. So make sure not only should we shorten the amount of time we spend with difficult families, but also lower our expectations. Number three, plan to spend less money. Preacher, why didn't I preach that a month ago? It's too late. If you're under pressure, don't pile on more with additional financial pressures. Money and the lack of money, for the most part, is the second most common cause of strife in marriages. The first cause of strife in marriages is poor communication or a lack of communication. And really, financial problems are just kind of, they issue forth from not having the right kind of communication and being able to communicate things. So you eliminate problems with communication and money problems, and you'll take care of 95% of the problems you'll have in a marriage. So don't add on pressures of finances. Materialism is well on its way destroying our country. John said this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And Proverbs 22:7, written by the wisest person ever to live, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. We'll teach more about this in January, the Lord willing. We'll talk about being in debt and talking about financial responsibility and so on. But debt makes us servants or slaves to the lender. So it's not a good thing. In fact, Romans 13:8, another writing by Paul, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves one another has fulfilled the law. So we're not supposed to owe, and that reference is to financial things. Owe no man finances. That's exactly what it's talking about. So what's the old saying? We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Now, that's not universally true, okay? I understand that. But it's not to apply that we didn't like people we gave presents to just yesterday, okay? It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that we need to be careful and not make more things that are already difficult for whatever reason more difficult by going into debt. Number four, adopt a family. Adopt a family. If you are alone for the holidays, why? Well, no one invited me over. So invite someone over to your place. Invite someone to come and celebrate with you. There are lots of lonely people in Southern California with 35 million people or whatever's in Southern California. There have got to be some people that you could invite over who would love to come and spend some time with someone else and celebrate the holidays together. Do something nice for another family who are less blessed than you. And by the way, if you don't know anybody who's less blessed than you are, come see me. I'll point out somebody. Because there are people that way. I used to complain because I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet. There's always someone worse off than us. So do something nice for another family. Focus outside of yourself. Think of other people. Think how you can be a blessing to them. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly kindness in honor, preferring one another. In honor, putting others ahead of ourselves. Not thinking, poor me, I don't have all the friends that somebody else has. I don't have all the nice things that other people have. But guess what? You put others before yourself. think about them, make them happier. And this number five kind of goes along with it. Give yourself away. Give yourself away. Work in a mission. See if you can help out with the Servicemen Center downtown or Servicemen Center right here or Salvation Army. Or I know COVID has kind of made it a problem with Radius Children's Hospital, but that kind of a thing to where you give yourself away and you spend time helping other people, taking food to some homeless people. We had, y'all surprised me with that birthday party, and we had a bunch of sandwiches left. And some of them went to military, and a bunch of them went to homeless people. So I took them and just went around to where the homeless people were and said, would you like a sandwich? Oh, yeah, and handed them out. So give clothes to the needy. Again, if you need someone, you say, I don't know anybody who's needy. We know people who could use clothes. We'll be glad to help with that. Don't be concerned about getting, but about giving. You can't be more Christ-like or God-like than when you're giving. Give, 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 give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So in Acts 20, verse 35, Luke said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when you're a little kid, Christmas time or birthday time, it's all, I can't wait to get my friend. I want to see what my presents are. But you know, honest to goodness, the thrill for parents and grandparents is to see their kids and grandkids light up, and to give something to them. I am the world's worst shopper. I like shopping. I'm the world's worst gift giver, I guess. Is my hearing aid's going off. Sorry. Good grief. Oh, I'm in shirt. Can I take this call right now? No. That's the downer of this. Okay, so what in the world was I talking about? I don't know. What did I just say? I am a lousy gift buyer. So my poor wife, you know, she does all these incredible things. Our whole marriage, like Christmas stockings for the day of, and Christmas Eve for presents, and she's got everything all. If it were not for her, my grandkids and kids would think, what a Scrooge he is. He doesn't do anything. So we're walking around. She's shopping. I'm pushing the cart, wanting to get out of there. And I turn the corner, and there is this gravedigger truck. Off-road gravedigger. I mean, the wheel's this big. I mean, it almost looks like the kind you get on and ride, but it's not. And my grandson absolutely loves the monster trucks. Yeah, and so he goes and sees, they go and see him when they come into town. And his favorite is the gravedigger. I was like, boom, that's it. You know, perfect gift. And so we went ahead and got it. But it was such a thrill. I made him wait till that was the last thing. He knew what it was. He kept feeling the tire through the wrapper. But he didn't know it was a gravedigger. So he got it out, and I mean, he came unglued. And it just makes me thrilled to be able to give. You know what? It thrilled God to give his son for us. It thrilled Jesus for him to be able to give himself so that we could have everlasting life. The comfort, David, that you have today is rooted in the fact that God gave. And if it weren't for that, we'd be comfortless. And there would be no consolation. Give yourself away. Number six, rest and reconsider. Cut your calendar in half. Also too late. Where was that a month ago, huh? Cut it down. Prioritize. You can't do everything. You can't be everywhere. Don't try to be. Even the Son of God, the almighty, omnipotent Son of God, when Jesus heard, he departed there thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. He went away where no one was. He went to an isolated place. And oftentimes, Jesus would get away from the crowds, the thousands that he would feed, the hundreds that he would heal. And he would wind up going somewhere and just getting alone with God and resting and reconsidering and so on. So someone said years ago, you got to come apart lest you come apart. You got to get alone with you and God and get alone and get some rest and take care of yourself lest you fall all apart. And you won't do any good if you do fall all apart. Number seven, and this is such a popular point, don't drink alcohol. Boy, I didn't hear a single amen there, but well, there's those ones. Now I'm going to get to meddling, okay? It's been nice up until this point, right? See, so happiness and joy doesn't come from a bottle, doesn't come from a pill, doesn't come from a cigarette, doesn't come from a line or whatever that you do, whatever it is you do a line with. I'm not talking about line dancing. I'm talking about drugs, whatever. I'm talking about alcohol being a depressant. Did you know that? Alcohol is a depressant. Oh, did you know that the whole word intoxicated, in the root of that, toxic, that alcohol is toxic? Did you know that? Just a little bit of poison. It's not too much, just a little bit of poison. Well, there's a whole lot of poison. It's intoxicating. It is toxic substance. It kills off brain cells. I need all of them I've got. I can't spare any. I'm saying, think about the untold miseries associated with alcohol. Think about this double fatality that just occurred, going the wrong way, driver, Interstate 8, just this last week. Think about the number one killer of people on highways is drunk driving. Number one, not even anything close to it in second place. Divorces, immorality, you know, it lowers your inhibitions, and things that people wouldn't normally do when they're sober, they will do when they're not sober. You say, where do you get all this stuff? Didn't Jesus turn water into wine? Yeah. And you look up what that was, and you can't tell from the word in the Greek that it's alcoholic or new wine. You cannot tell. Greek scholars cannot tell. It's one or the other. I think he turned it into new wine. I think it was the fresh squeezed juice of the grape that was so sweet and wonderful and amazing that they commented at the wedding. Don't give me this, Jesus turned water into wine business, unless you know for sure that it was alcoholic wine. But I will tell you this, if it was alcoholic wine in the tradition of the Jewish time 2,000 years ago, it was a very, very low percentage of alcohol content, very low. I'm just saying, you know what, and alcoholism runs in my family. All it takes is one drink. All it takes is one. And it's a road that can lead to ruin. So alcohol and drugs will not make your holiday better. They could shorten it, or they could end it permanently. America needs to depend on the Holy Spirit, not drugs and alcohol. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I'm just saying, folks, look, if you took Orange Avenue and went all the way down to Imperial Beach, and you took a turn onto Seacoast Drive, and you saw me come out of the Ye Olde Plank Inn. Now, I'm just saying, it hadn't happened, but I'm saying, suppose you see me coming out of the old Plank Inn, you're going to say, oh, there's our pastor. Hey, you doing, pastor? No, you're going to say, what's Pastor Bay's doing at the old Plank Inn? What's that joke about Protestants don't recognize the Pope, and someone else doesn't recognize someone else, and Baptists don't recognize each other in the liquor store? You would say something. I've had people say that. Preacher, if I saw you coming out of, I'd wonder what's going on. Well, wait a minute. There's not a double standard here. There's something. And I know. I'm in Coronado now. I know. It's different in Coronado. No, it's not. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I determined a long time ago. I was in college when I determined it. When I got called in to preach is when I determined it. That's not what I need to do. It's not what I need to be involved in. And I think, now I know some of you, look, so far it's been good. One point, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? Don't throw the whole message out with that one point. You say, well, I disagree with you. Well, you've been wrong before. And it's okay. I'll move on to something else that's not as controversial. How about avoid too many sweets? Now I'm meddling. Sugar is a wonderful drug, I mean thing. But even sugar can be poisonous in excess. Let your moderation be known in all things. Physical highs and lows affect our mental, emotional highs and lows. And over, by the way, we need to avoid overeating of any kind. You say, preacher, you're not exactly a picture. I'm sorry. I've got my sin. You've got yours. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. So avoid too many sweets. Avoid overeating. Avoid excess. And then number nine, change your place of activities. There's a whole series of things we could talk about here. Stay away from the juniper tree of depression. If you're prone to that, stay away. You remember what happened in 1 Kings chapter 19? You remember how that in chapter 18, Elijah called down fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice. He had 450 false prophets put to death. And, I mean, he was on the mountaintop, Mount Carmel, literally and spiritually. And then Jezebel says, I'm going to have your head on a platter. And he takes off running. And he goes a day's journey, and he sits down under a juniper tree and says, oh, God, just take my life from me. Nobody else is faithful to you. No one else is serving you like I am. Just take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Just sat down and felt sorry for himself. You ever done that? You ever had a pity party? Me, myself, and I get together every so often. We have a pity party. Poor me. You know what? Stay away from that juniper tree of depression. What in the world? Think about the positive things, the blessings that God has. I don't mean positive thinking. Think about the blessings God has poured out upon us. Amen. Don't visit the rooftop of immorality. I read through the Bible every year. Lord willing, I read through the Bible every single year. Have for, I think, 48 years now, something like that. Every time I get to 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm secretly hoping, David, don't. Don't go look at Bathsheba. Don't do that. Get off the rooftop. Get away from it. You don't have to go on the rooftop. All you got to do now is get to your computer. All you got to do now is pick up your phone and begin looking at the wrong kinds of things and going to the wrong kinds of places. You don't want to bring shame to your and sadness to your family? Stay away from the rooftop of immorality. Don't even go close to it. Don't get on a ship of disobedience headed for Joppa. That was Jonah's, the whole book of Jonah. God says, I want you to go this way. Jonah said, okay. And he went this way. And he kept going this way. And went down, 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 down. That's the message. Every verse or two, it's like he went down, he went down, he went down, he went down. And I can tell you this, walking away from God is always a downward path. Don't visit the cave of hatefulness at En Gedi. This is David again, 1 Samuel chapter 24. Saul seeking David's life. David's just serving God, just trying to glorify God, and Saul's out to kill him. Saul's the king, he's out to kill him. He goes into a cave where David and his men are inside this cave. Saul doesn't realize it. He's there for a little while, a few minutes, and his men said, look, God has delivered Saul into your hands. Rise up and kill him. This is your opportunity. By the way, you can always rationalize sin, right? I can. I can always rationalize sin. I can always figure out a way why that, well, it's not so bad. And so David's here, and his men are whispering into his ears, kill him, kill him. God delivered him. God delivered him to your hands. David said, he went over and he cut a little piece of Saul's garment off. And when Saul had left the cave, David came out and said, O king, long live the king. So there were some who told me to take your life, but I would not, because who should lift their hand against the Lord's anointed? And Saul said, you're more honorable than am I. It could have been a place of hatred. It could have been a place of vengeance. But David wouldn't let it be. Stay off the rooftop of laziness. That's David again. Also, the kings were supposed to be out in battle. He was supposed to be out with his troops. He wasn't. That's why he was on the rooftop. That's why he became, his idleness led to his sinfulness and the sensuality and inviting Bathsheba to the palace. Stay away from the bars, the worldly parties, the ungodly, lust-filled places. Stay away from that kind of stuff. Go to church. Go to family and friends where you can find encouragement and support and strength and direction and the right kind of friendship and hopefully the right kind of advice and wisdom. And last of all, treat yourself. Spend time with you and God. Spend time with Him. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Twice he says that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice, always be full of joy, and again I say rejoice. Cheer up someone else. Worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. Proverbs 12, 25. And here's what I used at a time in my life, again, probably around when I was maybe 19, 20 years of age. And I noticed that I seemed to have this predisposition to kind of dark times. And I came upon, I was going to say stumbled upon, but I didn't. God had something to do with it. Philippians chapter 4. There's a book written about Philippians chapter 4 called God's Psychiatry. I've handed out, if not hundreds, I've handed out dozens and dozens and dozens of them in my 50 years of ministry. But here's basically, here's one of the things it's based upon. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, and the God of peace shall be with you. Finally, brothers, whatsoever, it tells you what things to think about, what things to meditate on, what things to dwell on, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the promise is what? The God of peace will be with you. I'm telling you, meditate on those three verses. Philippians 4. Verses 7, 8, and 9. And then filter what you think about. Filter what you think about. You know what filters are for, right? I changed the furnace filter this last week. It hadn't been changed since September of 2020. So it was like I pull this thing out, and it's nasty. It's sucking in all the air and filtering out the stuff that's not good, and so that it doesn't blow COVID-19 all over. Now you're going like, oh, great. That's what I wanted to think about. This is a filter. If something's not true, don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. If something's not honest or someone's not, don't think about it. If it's not just, and by the way, just is different from fairness. Fairness is a human concept. Justice is a God's principle and God's characteristic. This world is not fair. God is always just. Whatsoever things are pure, if it's impure, don't think about it. Does away with pornography. Does away with the wrong kind of stuff. Whatsoever things are lovely. If it's not lovely, don't think about it. Whatsoever things are of good report. If it's a bad report, don't listen. Don't hear gossip. Don't be one in that chain of relaying gossip. If it's virtuous, think about it. If it's not, don't. If there be any praise, think about it. If it's not praiseworthy, don't think about it, because the promise is the God of peace will be with you. It's helped me. It's helped me to allow the Word of God to filter out what things I think about and dwell on. So in the middle of the night, when you wake up and you think about things, and nobody else does this, I'm sure, you think about things that could go wrong. Nobody else does that, I know, but I'm just talking about a friend of mine who does this. And he started thinking about all the things, and you know what? I came to the conclusion, I'm not going to worry about that kind of stuff. I'm going to let God take care of that kind of stuff because I can't control it anyhow, right? I'm just going to be thankful for what God is doing right now. He may come back tomorrow, in which case worrying about something that might happen a year from now is just a waste of energy and a waste of time. So think about the right kind of things. In honor, preferring one another, remember that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. So the stereotypical Christmas, New Year's, everything's wonderful, everybody's happy is just a myth. But the joy of the Lord can be with us always.
Amen.
Every day. It's just a prayer away. Our Father in heaven, I just know a little bit about how difficult it can be to be discouraged or depressed. I know very little about it compared to a lot of people, but I know some. And I know it's your word that's kept it from being a major problem in my life. And I know your word can keep it from being a major problem in the lives of the people who are in this room or the people who are watching online. I know it works because it's your word. And your word never, ever comes back empty or void, but always accomplishes the purpose that it has. So, Father, we want the joy of the Lord. We want the God of peace to be with us and the peace of God to abide in us. So if that requires a change in the way we think, a change in the way we act, a change in what we do, it is so well worth it. God, help us to be willing to make those sacrifices, if indeed they are sacrifices, to get the better things that you have promised to your children. God, be with those who are going through times of bereavement right now. God, be with those who are going through times of physical challenge, chemotherapy, heart problems, surgeries. Be with people who are going through tough times in their relationship with their family. God, give us your peace that passes all understanding, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' dear name, amen. Would you stand with us, please, as we stand together, as the praise team leads us in a song, an invitation song. If you'd like someone to pray with you, you come ahead right now, and we'll get someone to pray with you. If you want to receive Christ as your personal Savior, you come. We'll show you in just a few minutes, 5 or 6, 7, 8, maybe 8, 10 minutes, how to be born again, how to leave here, child of God, your sins forgiven. If you want to join the church, come let us know. If you want to be baptized, come let us know. If you haven't already, as they sing, come on right now.
Just as I am.
God speaking to you, listen to him.
For me,
obey him.
And that thou bidst me come to thee.
O Lamb of God, I come. One more verse. So come on, take a step out on the first word. Now, guess what? You can take home with you the joy of the Lord today. So elect to do that. Choose to do that. God will go with you. Are you going with him? Father, dismiss us with your love, your mercy, your grace, and be with us, God. Lift our heavy burdens. Thank you for going to the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day after Christmas.